morning, everyone. So, we have plans today, some things that I wanted to go on in our series talking about having a renewed mind, but caught a little bit of an audible. I felt like it would be somewhat irresponsible to not address what is clearly on everybody's mind. What's clearly on everybody's mind, which is the fact that there are some nervous people out there. There is some anxiety going on in our society, not just here in our state or in this country, but all over the world. Because there's a lot of people who are frankly being impacted by the virus that started in China and has gone on. We talked a little bit about it last week, the coronavirus, and yet talking about it and addressing it, sometimes we have to go a little bit further. We have to go a little bit further, and when I say that, I mean, we have to actually, and I thought of this old saying where it says, what would Jesus do? You know, remember those little bracelets everybody used to have a long time ago? Some of you still have it. You're not wearing it. But some of you still have some old ones, some what would Jesus do bracelets. And when we think about what would Jesus do, I kind of want to take it a little bit of a different direction. Not just what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus think? How would he think about the things that are going on in our society today? How would he want us to think and respond? And so with that, I want to go, we're going to look at one particular passage today in the book of John. And I want to address some of the things that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks in response to the coronavirus, and in response to how we're going to handle different things here when we gather here at the church. But I want us to take it a step further. You know, I had an interesting conversation with some friends of mine a few days ago, and I joke with my friend Paul because, you know, he's kind of like, ah, it's no big deal, it's not a problem, you know, everything will be fine, until the programming on ESPN began to get affected, right? Because suddenly they said, okay, no more NBA, no college basketball, no March Madness. We're going to delay spring training in baseball. Then all of a sudden, all the men who were tough as nails got mad, right? All of a sudden, it was a problem then. But when we really think about it, sometimes these epidemics and pandemics, sometimes the concerns that go on in our world don't really bother us. We may notice them and we may even pray about them, but we really don't take action until what? Until it affects us. Until it actually hits home. And that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody gets sick. You know, one of the things, you know, we were talking about this on Friday, how they said we're gonna close all the schools for a while. So immediately my wife and Curtis at the exact same time, because she texted me while we're sitting there talking, it's like, oh my goodness. What does that mean for spring break, right? See, if you're not sick, it doesn't always mean the same thing to you, but how does it impact you in other ways? And the reason why I want to bring this back to being centered on Christ is not only does it impact us in different ways, but the way in which we can impact others, sometimes we can feel limited with all of the talk of social distancing. And I know that was music to a lot of our ears. It's like, you know what? I'm struggling with being antisocial anyway. This is perfect. You mean to tell me I can stay in the house and I won't be shamed for it? You know, no. We have to look at this and ask ourselves, what does all this mean? What is God trying to get us to see as a society? As a church, as his people, what does he want us to take from this? The title of the sermon today, and it could have gotten a lot of titles, but I wanted to use this one, First Responders, because frankly, this is the attitude that Jesus wants us to adopt. He wants us to understand that when people are isolated, when people are being impacted, when people are sick, when people are watching their family members struggle and cling to life, when they can't go. I read several articles. One particular person, they said how their dad is in a nursing home. And because of the impact this has on the elderly, that it has on people who are, they have compromised immune systems, they're like, I can't go. He said, I can't go and hug my dad. He said he went to go visit him, and they've set it up where you can actually go visit him and see them, but you're talking through a window, almost like how if you go visit somebody who's in jail. He said, I can talk to him on the phone, and I can go there and see them, but I cannot physically come into this building for fear that even if I'm healthy, I may be bringing this virus to an entire group of people in this nursing home with compromised immune system. That's actually what was so difficult about what happened in New York, where they quarantined and they literally blocked off a whole mile radius. There was, I believe, that if I got the numbers right, they said it was 26 people died, and they were all elderly in this nursing home. It just wiped them out. See, what when we think about God and the perspective that we should have, we look around us today, and there's quite a few people here, and I'm gonna go over some of this here in just a second about how we're gonna handle this as a church. But we look around here and we know there's a lot of people that aren't here today. There's a lot of people who aren't here today. And one of the things that we can do, if we're not careful, we can be a little bit cynical and feel like, well, you know what? They should just have faith. They should trust that God is going to protect them. They should be here. They should be committed. And then others kind of feel like, well, you know what? I'm not coming. You should have, like so many other churches, you should have just canceled service. You should have just closed the doors. And yet I go back. 20 years ago, back when it was popular, what would Jesus do? And I want to look at how Jesus would think. We talked about this virus, and I mentioned this last week. But I want us to really think for ourselves. See, this is going to get personal. This is going to get really personal. Even if you don't get sick, even if somebody you know doesn't get sick, this is going to get really personal. And what's going to happen when it's judgment for you? God's not going to ask, well, you know, what was your fever? You know, what was your temperature? You know, how many weeks did you get off work? He's going to say, what did you do about it? Because it's very easy to look at politicians and the government and look at all the ways in which people in society and hospitals and the CDC and how everyone has failed. But what did you do? And so that's what I want to look at today, starting in this is a very popular, well-known passage. I know I've preached from this before, but I want to look at it again today because it's very appropriate. John chapter 11, starting in verse 1, and we're going to go through the entire story of Lazarus and see how this applies to us today. John chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." You know, there's this thing called PDA. PDA, I learned about PDA when I was in middle school. Confession, I got caught. I was kissing some girl. And I got in trouble. Not my proudest moment. But I got caught. PDA, public display of affection, right? And I thought about PDA a lot this week as we've been talking about social distancing. But I want to use that PDA acronym for a purpose today, because it's something, you know, a lot of times you get the little acronyms, they're easy to remember. I want you to rehearse in your head PDA, because that's what we're going to be talking about. And P stands for perspective. What we find here is that Jesus is talking to them, and he has a totally different perspective than they do. He's telling them this is not going to end in death. He's saying, guess what? Actually, I'm glad I wasn't there. See, a lot of times we look and we question God and we think, well, but God, if you love us and if you care, then why would you allow this to happen? Why are so many people being sick? Why are people being quarantined? Why are you canceling schools? Don't you know how this is going to impact those people who work hourly jobs? Don't you know how this is going to impact? You know, my sister, you probably saw her, some of you saw her last week. My sister works for a nonprofit, and they, you know, work to feed the hungry. And this is back in Cincinnati. And one of the things that's happening is, because of the schools being out, they're like, you know, a lot of kids come to school, and frankly, that's where they get breakfast and lunch. That's where they get their nutrition. So what's going to happen? So everybody's scrambling to make sure that food is going to be provided to these kids who are what we call food insecure. And see, we think, well, the impact of that is so great. It's not just the people who are sick, but what about the people who are not going to not only have work, but they're not going to get those hours back? They're not going to be able to recover. And so we would look, and the world looks at that and thinks, God, how could you allow this to happen to innocent people? How could you allow this to happen? But the perspective that Jesus takes here is, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity, because what we're going to see that he does with Lazarus is he changed, just everybody's mind is going to be blown. Everything is going to change when they see what his overall plan was. But we have to have that perspective that says, you know what? I'm going to trust him and I'm going to follow him, even though I don't see the outcome. And even though this certainly looks like Jesus is dragging his feet. What do you mean? If you love him so much, why would you wait 2 days to show up? Why would you say after 2 days, now we're going to go? There's so many people who are anxious and they're hurting and they're scared. They're sad. If you cared about them, why wouldn't you immediately go there? And we know from looking at the rest of Jesus' miracles in his ministry, Jesus didn't even physically have to show up to bring Lazarus back. So why would he wait? Understand that God has a perspective that we have to have. And part of that for us is that we have to understand that that perspective means that we have to also share in that same perspective. Responding like Christ in times of trouble and chaos begins with sharing his perspective. What is it that we should be looking at? Is this an opportunity for us as Christians? Is this more than just some time to spend at home and do some, you know, I'm cleaning up the honeydew list. I got a lot of it done just yesterday. You know, there's a whole lot of things that you can do when you're expected to just stay in the house. But is that the perspective that God wants us to have. What is it that God wants us to do? Should we see this as an opportunity as Christians to shine? Or do we look at this with the same fear and anxiety and loathing that the rest of the world who doesn't know who God is has? As we continue, I want us to get to the next letter in PDA, right? So we got perspective right here. Then the next letter is D. And what we're going to see here is that Jesus didn't just have a different view and a different outlook, but he also had deep compassion. He had deep compassion. Let's look. Starting verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? We see here something very important that we can not only relate to. It doesn't take much for anybody who's ever wept, who's ever mourned someone to be able to relate to this, but let's take this and recenter it back on Jesus again. He had deep compassion. And I bring this up, and this matters because when we think about deep compassion, sometimes it can be hard when we watch the news. You ever sat there, I know I'm not the only one. You ever sat there and watched somebody on TV and you thought, oh my gosh, they're so dramatic. You're so over the top. I mean, I know it's bad, but, or, you know what? I understand that you want to be safe, but you still have obligations and duties. You still have things you need to do. You still should be here. Just sit a couple extra seats away from somebody. You know, keep your distance. Or, you know what? You're just making excuses. Very often, we forget that two things, and this is what I love saying, is two things can be true at the same time. People can have faith, and people can believe. What we see here with Martha and Mary, they had faith. She said, I believe you can do anything that you say. But she was also mourning. She was also very anxious. She was also sad. They are not mutually exclusive things where it's like, you know, only one thing can be true. as Christians, we have to not only take the attitude of faith that God is going to protect us, that God is going to take care of us, that God is going to guide us, that God is going to be with us regardless. But we also have to have a compassion, a deep compassion that says, I understand and I can relate. How well do we relate to people who maybe they have a family member who's sick? How well can we relate to people who we think, well, it's not that bad if you lose your job or if you get furloughed? Somebody will take care of you. Well, that's easy to say. Why? Because you don't have to go through the shame and the humility of having to go ask for help. Do we have compassion for people who are going to be impacted by this? Or do we look at them and feel like you just need to toughen up? You just need to man up. You just need to get a better attitude. We might even challenge them that they need a better perspective. Not realizing that Jesus demonstrated not only that he had the power to do all things, but his humanity demonstrated that he cared enough, even though he knew what he was ultimately going to do by bringing Lazarus back. He hurt for those who were hurting. Do we hurt for those who are hurting? As a church, as a follower of the way, as a disciple, do we hurt for those who are hurting? We must find a way to show compassion and love within the restraints of social distancing. And I even put it that way because here's the thing. Showing compassion and loving people, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, like what we would normally do, you know, give people hugs and show up and that kind of thing. Well, guess what? Probably not the wisest, most prudent way. But how can you show compassion while still remaining safe, respecting social distance? You know, as I talked about that man, he gave his example, but there are countless other people who are in that same position where they cannot get there. Imagine being in Europe and they instituted a travel ban, you can't come home. Imagine being in the military right now and you're stationed somewhere and you find out that you have a loved one or a family member who's sick and you can't get close. Well, what can you do? Because too often when the world tells us what we can't do and what we shouldn't do and all the barriers and all the restraints, as Christians, what God expects us to do is come to him, pray, seek guidance, and ask the question, well, what can we do? Because right now, while you may not be able to fix somebody's situation as they're being impacted by this virus, you can show compassion. How do you go about showing compassion? Is that even your goal and your aim? Is that what you desire to do? You know, the last thing in this PDA, there's the letter A. And that word is action. What is the action that we can take? What action can we put? What movement can we do? What is it that we can actually act upon that would make a difference? Because more than anything, as I said before, we have to understand that this is an opportunity. The reason why I gave this title, First Responders, it's because when everybody's running away from the burning building, guess what the firefighter does? He runs in. When everybody runs away from that shooting, the police officers, those troopers, they run in. As Christians, we are expected to rise to the occasion. We've been talking about this for weeks, how, you know, we want to fill up these seats. We want to bring more people to the church. We want to bring more people to a relationship with God. Well, now is the time to do that. We've been talking about, you know, an example, we've been talking about our health groups, right? Even the fact that they're virtual, like, you know, the information. We're doing this thing through the internet, through our phones. That's how we keep in contact with one another. This is an opportunity, because guess what? There are some people that they're just not going to be able to come out for the next few weeks. maybe even a month or more. What an opportune time for you to say, hey, you know what? I know you weren't necessarily interested, or maybe you were kind of standoff. Maybe you've had some bad experiences with church. But what an opportunity for you to say, would you be a part of my health group? We're doing a reading. We're studying out a particular thing. Would you join us? This is an opportunity. It's like guerrilla warfare. You know, you got to look at those things that are weaknesses and turn them into strengths. Make them useful to you. Satan wants us all to be afraid, to live in fear, to have doubt, to feel like we're doomed to fail. We're doomed to destruction. We're limited now because of social distance, instead of seeing it as an opportunity for us to show exactly who God is. We'll end it here. John chapter 11, starting verse 38. We see the action that Jesus took. He says in verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus took action. You know, one of the things that I've been reading in some of the different circles that I'm a part of, different people who are in ministry, they talk about how, you know, because people are self-quarantining and staying in their homes and they're not making themselves available for community activities and being out in society in general except for what's necessary. They're like, well, you know what? There's just not a whole lot the church is going to we can do as a church. We're just going to close our doors. But, you know, we're just going to, you know, kind of just hunker down, you know, kind of like in hurricanes where people just put the shutters over the windows and board up everything. And then they walk away and they say, well, we'll just come back after the hurricane's over. We'll come back after the flooding is done and we'll just see what the damage is. You know, she says to Jesus, by this time, there's a bad odor. By this time, he stinks. And yet, Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed, did I not tell you? Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, what exactly did Jesus say? Did he say it was over? Did anybody get a news flash? Did anybody have it in a dream where they said, okay, well, you know what? Suddenly, you know, the impact that we can have as a church is going to be blunted or minimized or completely diminished because people aren't going to come. Now people can't come outside. Are we willing to take action like Jesus did? One, you know, really quickly, I want to go through this. One of the things that we're going to be doing, you've noticed this, there's a lot of people who, because they've had previous illnesses and because they have compromised immune systems, many of them are older, we've encouraged them not to be here for our worship service because we don't want to not have the doors of the church open. You know, I'm going to be available. We're going to be available because guess what? There are people that have needs. That phone, the church phone here, it's been ringing. People are anticipating. They know what's coming. They know that there's going to be some problems, even if it's just purely economical or food related, just keeping up on certain things, there's going to be an impact. But how are we going to act? Do we see this as an opportunity to move into action? Are we willing to take the action? Or have we taken the defeatist attitude that says, but you know what? By the time this is all over in the quarantine, and by the time everybody's back in school and there's some toilet paper back on the shelves, by the time all that's done, it's going to stink. It's going to be too late. It's not too late. Not only is it not too late, but if you're walking with Jesus, if you're taking the attitude that I'm going to trust him and I'm actually going to have his perspective, I am going to have deep compassion and I am going to act when prompted, not only is it not over and not only is all not lost, but you get to see the victory that comes with that. There are many of us who've been trying to reach out to people and share our faith with people and get people to come to church for a long time. Guess what? We're streaming live right now. This is the opportunity to say, well, even if you won't come with me, guess what? I know there's a lot of other places, they're closed. We're always going to be open. We're going to be open. So you can go on Facebook. You can watch there until it's time for you to come out and to say. You can go download sermons. You can follow us in our health group, our family group. How are we going to act? Are we going to act? Do we have the faith to act? Responding like Christ in times of trouble and chaos begins with sharing his perspective. We have to view it the way that Christ does. We can't allow this to be an opportunity for us to shrink back and say, you know, I'm scared to touch anybody. I don't want to get too close to anybody. Ooh, I heard somebody sneeze. I was at the gym the other day. I'm like 40 feet away from the nearest person, and I like sneezed. And it was only like 10 of us in the whole gym, believe it or not. But the other 9 people all looked at me, you know. And it was amazing because, again, I keep picking on Paul. My friend Paul, I posted it. He was like, do people know that it's allergy season? Like, everybody who sneezes and everybody who has little puffy eyes, they're not all walking around with the coronavirus, right? Yes, we have to take precautions. Yes, we have to be safe. We have to protect our elderly. We have to protect people who have autoimmune diseases. We have to protect our children. My children aren't here today. They probably won't be here for a little while. You know why? Because they said it's pretty universally understood. Children under like the age of 14, they walk around carrying this and barely show any effects. But when they come in contact with their grandparents and their aunts and their uncles, people who are sick, they give it to them. So, yes, we're going to take precautions. That's why earlier you noticed the slide didn't go up about children's church. We're not going to have children's church for a few weeks. There's a reason why they're canceling school. There's a reason why quarantining works. That's why South Korea, as an example, it's working. But just because some of the elderly are going to stay home doesn't mean that we don't need to act. That just means that you who are healthy, you need to call them. You need to bring them food. You need to show up and see if they need anything. You can sit and pray with them. You don't have to hug all over them and get them infected with your germs. But how are we going to act? Are we going to shrink back, or are we going to be an example to the rest of the world that this is what God expects? This is what Christ died for. That we can be like him, that we can show up and rise to the occasion, and when everybody's running out in fear and doubt, we run in with faith. A few things to close with. Do I have the same perspective that Jesus has in times of panic and chaos? Very simple. Do I share his view? And if you don't, is that what you're praying for? God, help me to see things the way you want me to see it. not the way the news is telling me, not the way the government is telling me, not the way that all of the negativity and disruption is going on around me. How do I view this thing? Help me to see it the way you want me to see it. If there was ever a time when we should be constantly praying, asking God to order our steps and tell us what to do next, because we don't know, because all of our routines have been totally disrupted and shaken up. Everything we would normally do is different. This is the time for us to say, God, help me to have the perspective and see it the way you want me to see it. The second thing, the D. Do I allow fear and anxiety to dictate my emotions, or am I compelled by deep compassion during periods of trouble? What is driving you? What is the desire of your heart? Do you care that there are people who are going to be affected by this in ways that you won't? You know, I shared this about the schools closing. You know, it's totally different. You know, there are teachers and schools are closing, and guess what? They're going to keep getting their pay. Some of those parents who can't find childcare, they won't. They're going to have to take days off. They may not lose their job, but it's going to cut into what they can do. What about those kids who are in college, who they've closed them, and now suddenly their graduation has been affected? That's one of the things they talked about in sports, how a lot of these guys and girls who are going to go on and play professionally, suddenly things have changed for them because they can't finish their baseball season, their track season. Some of my friends who I've been following, you know, from a distance because they're in different states, they have children. There's some kids I've even coached who they're displaced now. Their track season is over. And you might say, well, it's just track. It's just sports. It's just athletics. You weren't going to go run in the Olympics anyway. Do you even care about the fact that their dreams have been dashed? Do you care about the fact? You say, well, it's only a couple of days of work that you miss. You can make that money up later. Do you care? Do you have compassion for these people? That's how Christ is reflected in our lives. Even if you can't give them something to change the direction, you can always give compassion. You can always give love. And you don't have to be in their face to do it. You have to want to do it. You have to want to have compassion. What actions am I willing to take when there are obstacles in the way which prevent me from doing what I would normally do? Do I overcome barriers in a Christ-like way? What actions are you willing to take? You may not be in a position. You may be someone who says, hey, I'm actually compromised. I can't put myself in a position where I can get someone sick. I can't put myself in a position where I'm going to get sick. Well, what can you do? Because Christ doesn't stop because there's a virus, because there's a global pandemic, and everybody is shutting down bars and restaurants and stores and schools. This is a time for us as Christians to step up and say, what can we do? This may be that person who's lost, who doesn't know the message of Christ. This may be that opportunity. This may be that moment that God's been waiting for with you. Remember, when Jesus says, hey, I'm actually glad I didn't show up. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you could see and believe. Sometimes, you know, we go through and we just think everything is working perfectly. There are people who feel like, you know what? Yeah, I know God's there, but I don't really need him right now. I've got it under control. And then the stock market plummets. You know? And then, I mean, you think about, it was funny, a friend of mine sent it to me. They said, I know it's serious now because Apple closed all of its stores. Because sometimes it doesn't get people's attention until something dramatic and big happens. So now we have a dramatic and big thing happening right now. Now we've got a dramatic moment. And God's saying, this is your time to act. This is your time to call them. This is your time to reach out to them. this is your time to introduce, and this is your time to help them see who I am to you and what I can be for them. And finally, how will I respond to this today? Very simple question. Are you going to walk out of here today and say, okay, that was great, I hear what you're saying, and then go and lock yourself in your house for the next 2 or 3 weeks and not call anyone? Not go take anybody any supplies? Not make yourself available? Not say, you know what, I've always wanted to be involved in benevolence. I've always wanted to be involved in a ministry that met the needs of people. You know, there's a whole lot of kids that aren't going to be able to go, and we just assuming they're going to go back to school in a couple weeks. We really don't know. But there's a lot of kids who could use some tutoring right now. Skype is out there. Facebook Live is out there. Some of us need work. Some of us need to be able to do something with our time. This is an opportunity as Christians. As people who are actually following Jesus. We know who Jesus was. We're just like Mary, and we're just like Martha, and we're just like the disciples. We know the goodness of God. We understand the goodness of God. What are you going to do about it today? Because God wants to use you. God wants you to reflect Christ in this world. How are you going to respond today? Maybe the response is, hey, you know what, even before this, I just needed to repent. And I know I have not been willing to allow myself to have the perspective that God has. And I haven't allowed myself to have compassion because I've been hard-hearted and I've been cynical and jaded in how I view people in society in general. And maybe I've just been too lazy. I haven't been willing to act. So this is time for you to repent. This is an opportunity for you to repent. If you want the church to pray for you, we're about to have our song of invitation here in a second. Come forward. Let it be known so as a church we can come together and not only help ourselves but help you, pray for you specifically. Lift that up before God. If you're someone who doesn't have a relationship with God, maybe you need to see. You're saying, I hear what you're saying, it all sounds good, but I don't understand how this works. I don't even understand how it is that I can make sense of all this chaos going on. How do I see God in this? I don't know him. If you don't know him, if you need a perspective, if you need to be able to see what it really means to follow Jesus and the way that he lived, this is an opportunity. This is not just a good sermon or just something to listen to or see on a Sunday. This is an opportunity moving forward for you to rise up and have a real relationship with God, to accept him, be baptized in his name, to know that your sins are forgiven and know what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If that applies to you today, if you're someone who, again, just wants the prayers of the church, I ask that you come forward at this time as we stand and sing our song of invitation.